السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful, we ask Him, the Almighty, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it gives me immense pleasure and happiness to be here with you all, to be amidst you all. And first and foremost, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful opportunity that He has bestowed upon me, that He has granted me the opportunity to come from thousands and thousands of miles away to your beautiful country and to spend time with you all. It is indeed from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in accordance with the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who is reported to have said, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. The one who has not thanked the people has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I thank the organizations behind this initiative, the organizers, the team members, the mashayikh, the scholars, the volunteers. I thank all of them, and last but not least, I thank each and every one of you attendees. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of you, bless us all with the very best in this world as well as the hereafter. Ameen. Please say ameen. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless this gathering, and may He make this gathering a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings, the sakina, tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make high mention of us in the seven heavens. Ameen. Honestly, without you all, what is the point of us being here? We would only have to come and maybe speak to the jinn. And you know, talking about the jinn, there's an interesting story that I would like to share with you all. You know, whenever you go to any city, any country, any village, any locality, they have stories that they tell. At times they say that these are, you know, grandma's stories perhaps. You have all kinds of stories, spooky stories, scary stories. They tell one another to keep themselves entertained. So likewise, in one particular vicinity, there was one story that was said, and I would like to share it with you all. And this story is in regard to a young boy who was returning after a camping trip. He had gone hiking, and he was returning home after a hiking trip, and he was all by himself. He was coming down the slope of a mountain, and what happened was night fell. Night fell, and now things started to become a bit scary, and this is the case with darkness, and this is why we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of the darkness. Whenever darkness falls, we tend to become scared. Fear grips us. And now, if you don't mind, I would have to make the story a lot more scarier, so there'll be a little bit of theatrics involved, inshallah ta'ala. That's the only way I can get you all into the groove of the story, alright? So he's making his way now, on his way home. Things are very spooky. He's hearing the hooting of the owls. He can hear the fluttering of the wings of the bats. Now he's making his way. It's so foggy, it's misty, it's dark. I want you all to imagine the scene. He's making his way slowly. He's scared. And he thinks to himself, you know what, I think it's best if I stop a passing vehicle and get a lift to the town, to the nearest town. But there is not a vehicle in sight. He's making his way down the hill. Now he's scared because he's hearing all kinds of creepy noises. And when you are alone, even the rustling of the branches at times tend to make you scared. So he's making his way now. And then suddenly, what does he see? He sees two pairs of headlights. In the sense, I'm sorry, one pair of headlights making its way. In the sense, a vehicle, a car was making its way down. Now he thinks to himself, oh, how good my fortune. I can, you know, grab a lift perhaps in this particular car. So he signals, you know, the sign to, you know, hitchhike, if you will. And then what happens? Lo and behold, the car comes and stops by this young boy. Now I want you all to listen attentively. The car comes and stops by this young boy. The young boy thinks, oh, how kind a person. Because at times, in the middle of the night, if you were to hitchhike, people would not stop for you. They would think twice. And in today's time and era, where, you know, it's not the safest of days, people wouldn't stop. So he was extremely grateful that this car was coming to a stop. And what does he do? He thinks, okay, the person has stopped for me, and he jumps into the car. Only to find there's no driver. No driver in the driving seat. Now, put yourselves in the shoes of that boy. If you were to, in the middle of the night, a spooky night, you're already scared, and you jump into a car thinking that the car has stopped for you and no driver in the driving seat. I know it's 9 or 10 a.m. in the morning and it's difficult to scare you all, but still think of it in the middle of the night. No driver in the driving seat. Now he's so scared. He's gripped with fear. And then what happens? Suddenly a hand comes through the window. I told you, I had to get you into the groove of the story. A hand comes through the window and grips the steering wheel. And now the boy is gripped with even more intense fear. And he's debating, I should jump out of the car, come what may. I need to get out of this vehicle, this spooky, haunted car, this ghost car. But before he could do that, the car starts to move and the hand guides the steering. Now the boy is paralyzed with fear. You know, at times when you are in intense fear, you can't move. You're literally paralyzed. Your limbs don't obey your commands. So he's paralyzed in the passenger seat. He doesn't know what to do. The car is making its way now. Slowly, 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 he sits calmly. He can see the hand moving the steering. And then what happens? He sees the lights of a diner approaching. You know, a hotel, if you will, a restaurant. And the car comes to a stop by the diner, by the restaurant. The boy just opens the door and he runs helter-skelter into the diner. He runs in into the diner, and to his relief, there are people inside the diner. There are people inside the diner. They all look at him because outside it's raining, it's dark, and suddenly this boy comes in white as a ghost. Why? Because he literally thought he saw a ghost. So he comes in, he's shivering, he's trembling. The people ask him, what's wrong, what's wrong? He can't even speak because he's so gripped with fear. And he's trying to tell them about what happened in the car. And then what happens? Two figures loom at the doorway. The silhouette of two individuals. And now everybody is gripped with fear because the boy was just saying, haunted car, and he was pointing outside. They can see the headlights of the car. These two figures come by the doorway, and then the two individuals enter the hotel, the restaurant. And then they all see that they are two human beings. And then these two individuals, they come inside and see what the commotion is all about. And one looks at the other and says, hey mate, you know what? This is the guy who got into the car whilst we were pushing the car. One person was behind pushing the car. The other person was steering the wheel. He put his hand through the window. No jinn, no spooky story, nothing. You see, at times what happens is these stories, you see, that if the boy had not seen the two individuals, he would have gone and told that story to so many other people, and the story would have traveled from mouth to mouth, ear to ear, until finally it becomes an established story. I'm sure even here in Abuja, in your beautiful city, there must be many stories. But you know, do a little bit of investigation and you might find out the truth behind these stories. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I would like to start off, or rather delve into my topic, by narrating a beautiful story unto you all. Don't worry, it's not a spooky story now. This story is mentioned in the books of history and in certain books of hadith as well. And if I'm not mistaken, it has been mentioned in the book of Imam Malik, rahimahullah. There was once a young boy, not the young boy who came after camping, another young boy who was a student of knowledge. He decides to go and seek knowledge, and he makes his way to Dimashq. he makes his way to Damascus. And this was 30 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, roughly around 30 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This boy goes to Damascus and he is to become a famous judge, a famous scholar, but at that time he was not a scholar, he was a student of knowledge. He goes to Damascus. His name was Abu Idris al-Khawlani, rahimahullah. He goes to Damascus, and when he goes there, he decides to go to the masjid to pick a teacher for himself. Now, this used to be the practice in the past. They were very choosy, very picky when it came to picking teachers, because they were very careful. At the end of the day, they were going to seek knowledge, divine knowledge, knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. You can't just seek this knowledge from anybody. You had to choose a teacher very carefully. And this is something that we have to learn from them as well. So Abu Idris al-Khawlani, he makes his way to the masjid to choose his teacher. As he enters the masjid, his eyes fall upon a young teenager. A very young individual. And he had a bright face, a very bright face. He was young, he had a handsome, bright face. And Abu Idris al-Khawlani could not help but stare at this handsome individual, and he notices people thronging around this individual. People were crowding around this individual, and they were listening to this individual very attentively, and they were full of awe, respect. They were very humble in front of this young individual. And whenever he would speak a word, they would listen so attentively and grasp the knowledge from his words. So Abu Idris al-Khawlani was amazed. He asks the people around him, who is this youngster? Who is this young, handsome individual? And it was said to him that this individual was none other than the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Please remember, salawat, and I mention his beautiful name. The great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. It was Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. Now Mu'adh ibn Jabal was a great companion. A great companion, a scholarly companion. So much to the extent that there are reports to state that on the day of Qiyamah, the scholars will be gathered at a particular location, okay? And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu would be the leader of that particular gathering, Allahu Akbar. So Abu Idris al-Khawlani, the minute he looks at Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and the minute now that he knows that Mu'adh, this individual is Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, his heart was filled with pure love for this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much to the extent that he felt that I have to go and profess my love for this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now the issue was that there were a lot of people crowding, and he was a stranger at the end of the day, a foreigner. He was finding it difficult to make his way right to the front and get an audience with Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. So what does he do? He decides to come the next day early in the morning and wait for Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to profess his love for Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. So morning comes. Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahimahullah makes his way to the masjid during the time of Salatul Tahajjud. He decides to go early, way early, to wait for Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, because he was sure, he was confident that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu would come for Salatul Fajr. He makes it to the masjid only to find a lone figure praying by a pillar of the masjid. It was none other than Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. He had beaten him to the masjid. He was already in the masjid offering Salatul Tahajjud. Abu Idris al-Khawlani goes and stands behind Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, waiting for him to finish the Salah to have a conversation with him. No sooner Mu'adh radiallahu anhu finishes his prayer, he senses the presence of someone behind him. He turns back and he looks at Abu Idris al-Khawlani and he greets him. And a conversation unfolds between Abu Idris al-Khawlani and Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahimahullah immediately seizes the opportunity to tell him. He introduces himself and then he says, O companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إني أحبك في الله. I love you for the sake of Allah. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu looks at Abu Idris al-Khawlani and he asks him, Allah You don't know me. I don't know you. This is our first encounter. And you're saying that you love me for the sake of Allah. Do you really love me for the sake of Allah? To which Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahimahullah responds, Allah, yes, I love you for the sake of Allah. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu asks him again, Allah, really for the sake of Allah? Abu Idris al-Khawlani responds, yes, for the sake of Allah. One final time, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, Allah, really for the sake of Allah? Do you really mean your words? Do you love me for the sake of Allah? To which Abu Idris al-Khawlani responds saying, yes, I love you for the sake of Allah. Purely for the sake of Allah. Then Mu'adh radiallahu anhu grabs Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahimahullah, brings him close to him, and then he says, then let me give you glad tidings, because these ears have heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then he went on to mention a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said that Allah said, this is a hadith Qudsi, the words of Allah that have been reported to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that wajabat mahabbati, my love, Allah is saying this, my love is obligatory upon those who love one another for the sake of Allah. My love is obligatory for those who sit with one another for the sake of Allah. My love is obligatory for those who visit one another for the sake of Allah. My love is obligatory for those who gift one another for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Having mentioned this narration, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I tell you all, Wallahi, by Allah, I love each and every one of you for the sake of Allah. And we have all gathered here for the sake of Allah. So if our intentions are in place, if we are all united, and if our hearts are knit together as one in regard to this, then the love of Allah is obligatory and incumbent upon each and every one of us. Allahu Akbar. Today, if you were to have a VIP's number on your speed dial, think about how, you know, confident you would be, mashallah. Your collars would be this high. Why? Because you have a VIP, VVIP. Allah, the King of all kings, the ruler of all rulers, the Lord of all worlds, His love is incumbent and obligatory upon you. Allahu Akbar. Think about how successful you are going to be. You're going to be successful in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us victory in both worlds. Ameen. Please say ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, having mentioned all of this, today I'm sure that whether we be religious or irreligious, we can all attest to the fact that the Muslim nation, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is going through a severe crisis. The irony is that we are a billion strong, yes, but we have also fragmented into a billion fragments, yes or no? We have fragmented into a billion fragments. And the fact of the matter is that even in regard to the solution, even in regard to the way forward, we are terribly divided. Even in regard to discussing a solution, even in regard to moving forward, we are terribly divided. But nonetheless, deep down, we all know that there is a death, there is a strong need for all of us to unify. There's a strong need, a dire need towards unity, to unite for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sadly, due to this severe dissension, due to this disunity, our hearts have drifted so far apart. Our hearts have drifted far apart from one another. Our hearts have hardened towards one another so much to the extent that we find it very difficult to compliment someone for the good that he or she has done. But rather we find it within ourselves, to contradict one another, to fault one another, to look down upon one another. It is because of this disunity, because seeds of disunity have been sown in our hearts, and because our hearts have drifted so far apart. Why do you think that these days, our days, are not the glorious days of Islam? And the days of the Sahaba were the days of glory, because they were so united. They loved one another so much. Yes, obviously Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amidst them, and they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very much. But even after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they loved one another so much. They were united. There was a lot of difference of opinion. There was a difference of opinion, but yet they did not fragment the way we have fragmented. Allahu Akbar. You know, there is a beautiful hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once seated with the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and then suddenly he smiles, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How I envy the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, to see the beautiful smile of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May my mother, my father and myself be ransomed and sacrificed for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He smiles, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he seizes the opportunity to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is making you smile? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educates them, and he clarifies that a vision was shown to me. A vision, I was shown something, a clear vision, where I saw two individuals standing or kneeling in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Two individuals standing in front of Allah azza wa jal. And then one of them looks at Allah and he says, Oh Allah, my brother, he oppressed me. Therefore, this is a day where justice, this is a day when justice will prevail. This is a day where you will mete out justice. So I ask justice from you, and I seek retribution. I seek from you that you either give me some of his good deeds, or lessen or lighten my burden of evil deeds by transferring my sins over onto him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Allah azza wa jal looks at this individual and he tells him, the narration goes along the lines of these words, that this slave of mine does not have any good deeds. No good deeds to transfer. Allahu Akbar. This person has no good deeds to transfer. So will you forgive him? Will you let go of him? Will you pardon him? The individual, he will state, with all due respect to this individual, this is a day where I'm so desperate, because it is the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. A day when your wealth will not benefit you, your children will not benefit you, nothing will benefit you, except a sound and healthy heart, a heart that is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will say, I'm so desperate that I cannot pardon him. If he does not have any good deeds, then transfer my sins onto him. Allahu Akbar. And this is something that we have to be very careful about. At times we might think, oh, I have so many good deeds with me. I have a mountain of good deeds. But on the day of Qiyamah, when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you had wronged someone, if you had hurt someone, if you had perhaps done it for other motives, if you had not done it for the sake of Allah, you will not find those deeds by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal then will look at this individual and show him the gardens of paradise. Allahu Akbar. He will show him the palaces of paradise, the rivers of paradise, the beautiful lush gardens of paradise. And it will be said to that individual that this is all for the righteous, obviously. And then this individual will anyway ask, for whom are all these palaces and gardens? Are they for someone special, like the martyrs, the righteous people perhaps? And it will be said to that individual, no, it is not for anybody special per se, but rather it is for the person who can afford its price. Allahu Akbar. For the person who can afford its price. Now today, if you were to take a house in a very residential location, how much do you think a house would cost here in Abuja? The other day when I was flying Dana Air, there was this paper, I was just going through it, and there were houses, 3-bedroom houses, 4-bedroom houses in Abuja, in Lagos, 15 million naira, 20 million naira. Are the figures right? Yes. Now think about Jannah. What expensive real estate. A Jannah that was made by Allah. Trees that were planted by Allah. Palaces that were built by Allah. Each brick is made out of silver, gold. The cement that is used to glue the bricks together. Musk, sweet smelling sands. Allahu Akbar. Think about how expensive it would be. And this man will think, oh, how am I to afford the price of Jannah? And then it will be said to him, the price for it is for you to forgive your brother. The price for you to enter Jannah and enjoy all these blessings is for you to forgive your brother. The man will say, Ya Allah, are you sure? Is that the price? It will be said, yes, that is the price. If that is the case, I make you my witness that I forgive my brother, Allahu Akbar. And then it will be said to the two of them that you and your brother go and enjoy the gardens of paradise. You both may enter paradise and enjoy from the gardens of paradise. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, reconciliation, forgiveness, this is such a beautiful attribute that even Allah Azza wa Jal will practice it on the day of Qiyamah, obviously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about the qualities of the people of Jannah, what does He say? وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم. Run towards the forgiveness of your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And a garden, its real estate, its square footage is the heavens and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It has been prepared for the people of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَعْضِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So many beautiful qualities, and from these qualities they are those who will pardon. They are those who will forgive one another. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves the doers of good. Allah loves those who do good. May Allah make us all from the muhsinun. Ameen. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is incumbent, it is upon us to forgive one another. It is incumbent, it is obligatory upon us to spread peace. Do you know there's a beautiful hadith? Abu Yusuf Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, he makes mention of the hadith. And this individual, he's an Ansari. Listen to me attentively. And when this incident took place, he was not a Muslim. Barada kana hibram min ahbari al-Yahud. He was from the Jewish rabbis. He was from the monks, Jewish rabbis. He is in Medina, and now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam makes his way to Medina at the time of Hijrah. He hears about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has arrived in Medina, and he decides to go and welcome the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There were a lot of people who came to welcome the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Yusuf Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, he decides to go and see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, no sooner this individual, this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who was a Jewish rabbi at that time, the minute he saw the blessed and beautiful face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that was more beautiful than the full moon, the minute he saw his face, his heart was filled with love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he comes to a quick conclusion that this face can never ever be the face of a liar. This face can never be the face of a liar. And then he goes on to make mention of the narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the crowd and he issues four powerful commands. Ya ayyuhan nas. Words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's addressing all of them. O people, O mankind. He did not say, O Muslims, O believers. No. Ya ayyuhan nas. Because at that time, the bulk of them, they were non-Muslims. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. Afshus salam. Spread the greetings of peace. That is a direct interpretation. A more generic interpretation would be spread peace amongst yourselves. Afshus salam. Wa tut'imu ta'am. And feed the hungry. Feed the hungry. Wasilu al-arham. Maintain ties of kinship. Wasallu bil-layli wan-nasu niyam. Pray in the night when people are asleep. Tadkhulu al-jannata bi-salam. And you will enter Jannah with peace. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to understand how powerful it is to spread peace. When we say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, it is a dua, a powerful and positive dua where you're wishing good for your brother, you're wishing good for your sister. You cannot wish evil for them. And when we spread the greetings of peace, our hearts are filled with love. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, you will not enter Jannah until you believe. And you will not believe until you love one another. And shall I tell you of a way where you will be able to love one another very easily? Spread the greetings of peace. Say salams. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that the best of Islam or the best Muslim is the one who greets those he knows and those he does not know. At times today, we only greet the people whom we know or we're familiar with. We have two types of salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Two types of salam. We should greet everyone from the believers. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have to spread peace. These are the teachings of Islam. Tut'imu ta'am, feed the hungry, give back to the community, look after the orphans. We need to become community oriented activists like the Sahaba. Their love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their love for the deen completely transformed them. Allahu Akbar. Today we claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We claim to, but we can never ever love him like how the Sahaba did. We cannot. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was so sad, so upset, because he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. He would get on his animal, his camel, and he would ride around Medina hoping that the hooves of his animal would touch the same spots where the animal of the Prophet ﷺ had touched. He loved the Prophet ﷺ so much. Bilal radiallahu anhu, after the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, he could not call the adhan out. They would beg him to call out the adhan. They would beg him, but he would find it so difficult, because each time he would try to call out the adhan, he would try, but each time his heart would be filled and flooded with memories of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would try, he would cry out, he would call, people would tell him to call because they wanted to remember Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would tell him, please call out the adhan. He would try. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he would stop. He would break down. He would not be able to continue. Would find it so difficult. His heart would be filled and gripped with the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where are we in comparison? We are nothing. But still we strive to love him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you really love him, then you have to forgive one another. If you really love him, then you have to love one another. Allah says in the noble Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, if they love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what will you get in return? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will love you in return. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ And Allah will forgive you of all your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. But today, sadly, we have a complex where when someone tries to tell us or when someone tries to pass messages of goodness, we feel, you know what, I know. You don't have to tell me. I'm an educated person. I'm an intelligent person. You don't have to tell me what I need to do. I am making my salah in the masjid. I am reading the Quran. That's it, khalas. We have a very skewed understanding of Islam. We think of Islam as a religion. Islam is not a religion. Islam is a deen. Deen in the sense it is a complete way of life. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started off the first commandments in Medina, Afshu Salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, pray, give out sadaqah, in the sense, give out zakah, go on hajj, fast the month of Ramadan. Spread peace everywhere. We are ambassadors of peace and goodness. We are ambassadors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ambassadors of Islam. We need to embody the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should not try to act smart. Because when we do so, we at times become oblivious to what is right in front of us. We become foolish. You know, like there were two individuals, on a lighter note, there were two individuals who sat down at a function. One was an intelligent individual, a professor, if you will. A very intelligent individual. And the other individual was not so intelligent. He was okay. So after a little bit of a conversation between the two, the intelligent person thinks, you know, this guy is such a simpleton. I can fool him easily. He looks at him and he tells him, you know what, let's play a game. Let's play a game. What's the game? I ask you a question, and if you do not answer the question, I give you $5. I give you five. It says you give me $5, I'm sorry. I ask you a question. If you do not answer the question, you give me $5. The intelligent person tells the not so intelligent person. And he tells him, after I ask you a question, okay, you can ask me a question. And if I fail to answer your question, I will give you $5,000. Did you understand the scenario? The intelligent person asks the foolish person a question. Okay, and if he fails to answer, what happens? He gives how many dollars to the intelligent person? $5. The foolish person asks the intelligent person a question, and if the intelligent person fails to answer, what does he do? $5,000. So the intelligent person looks at the foolish person and asks him, what is the fifth planet in the solar system? How many intelligent people in the house that can answer the question? What is the fifth planet in the solar system? The foolish person, he thinks, he racks his brain, and then he says, I don't know. Okay, payday, $5. Foolish man, okay, fine. And he gives $5. Now the intelligent man was very confident. $5,000, I'm never gonna pay it. Why? Whatever he asks me, such a simpleton, I'll be able to answer it. Peanuts. The foolish person looks at the intelligent person and tells him, okay, now my turn. What walks on four legs, sleeps on three legs, and eats with two legs? Do you know the answer? What walks on four legs, sleeps on three legs, and eats with two legs? The intelligent person was stupefied. What is this? He's thinking, you know, applying all his degrees. He's a professor. Who knows, I don't know in what. You know, like once there were two individuals who were on a boat. Do you know the story? Two individuals on a boat. And one person was a professor, highly qualified. He looks at the simpleton sailor while they were on the boat and he asks him, you know, are you educated? Did you go to the university? The sailor says, no, I didn't go. I am just a fisherman. Oh, so you don't know biology, you don't know ecology, zoology, you don't know geography, you don't know all these? No, I don't know. Oh, what a waste of your life. After a period of time, what happens? The sea becomes rough now. The sea becomes very rough. And now the boat is about to capsize. The sailor, in a very alarmed way, looks at the professor and he asks him, "Do you know swimology and escapology?" The professor says, "What is that?" "I don't know. I don't know how to swim." "Ah, then you are going to, because you know why? The crocodileology and the sharkology is going to come and eat your headology, and you are going to dialogy." So likewise, this intelligent person, he thought, you know, how am I to answer this question? And now I have confirmed $5,000. Ah, four legs, three legs, two legs. He racks his brains and he says, "You know what, I don't know the answer. Here you go, $5,000. And now he asks the man, "So what is the answer? Tell me the answer now before I lose my mind." The foolish man says, "I don't know the answer. Here, $5. So sometimes, when you tend to become too intelligent, may Allah save us all. May Allah open the doors of good understanding for all of us. I mean, we tend to become oblivious to that which is right in front of us, staring at us in our faces. May Allah save us all. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I've had a really good time with you all. Barakallahu feekum. I have a few minutes and I hope to wrap off, inshallah, by sharing a powerful message. And that is that at times, given that we are going through such a huge crisis, we tend to play the blame game. We tend to blame others. We tend to blame our leaders. We tend to blame those who are in authority, those who are in power. Whilst in reality, we are to blame ourselves. If we change, you see, there's no point in you pointing your finger at others. You know, if this organization changes, I will change. If my masjid changes, I will change. If my scholar changes, I will change. If this happens, if that happens, if my leader changes, I will change. No, if you change, the people around you will change. Your family will change. If your family changes, society changes. If society changes, the community changes. If the community changes, the country changes. If the country changes, the world will change at large. We have it within each and every one of us. We need to believe. We need to believe in ourselves. Sadly, today we don't believe in ourselves. The famous story of a person, a sailor, by the name Mel Fisher. You might have read his story in certain articles or in certain books. For 17 years, he was searching for a shipwrecked treasure. For 17 years. And each day, just think of it, 17 years searching the seas for a treasure. And after 17 years, he finds a treasure worth $400 million in gold and silver bullion. Allahu Akbar. After 17 years. So think of it, every single day getting up, facing disappointment, but still believing in himself. And telling his crew as well, because one of the crew members was interviewed, and that person said that every single day I felt like leaving, but whenever I listened to Mel Fisher, I was rejuvenated and we went again hunting for the treasure. You need to believe in yourself and you need to know that your treasure is Jannah. Your treasure is Jannah, it is waiting for you. You need to believe in yourself, you need to believe in Allah and work hard towards it. Do not ever, ever lose hope. At times we go into this abyss of depression when we lose hope. We think, oh, the ummah is like this. Everybody is like this. You know what? Nothing can be done. And we become so depressed. At-tafa'ulu min al-iman. Optimism is from iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest optimist to ever walk on the face of this earth. He never lost hope in the mercy of Allah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. You may be the greatest of all sinners, but do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Each time you open up the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Allah says in the noble Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell my slaves. My slaves, the ones who have wronged themselves. Allah did not say the sinners, the transgressors, the criminals. Tell my slaves who have wronged themselves. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Innahu huwal ghafuru rahim. Indeed, He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. With that I conclude. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive each and every one of us. And just as how He united us here, please say ameen, just as how He united us here in this beautiful venue for this beautiful initiative, may He unite us many more times in the future for many more initiatives of this nature. And likewise, may He unite all of us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wa ya alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khayrul jazak.